Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture this morning you will find in the New Testament portion of your Bibles on page 215. It's a letter of Paul to Philemon, and it's first chapter, verses 1 through 22. Actually, there is only one chapter in this book, so it's kind of easy to overlook. But I think to really understand this scripture, it's kind of important to know a little bit of the background of what Paul was writing about. On Paul's missionary journals in Asia Minor, he was very successful there, and he had a lot of conversions. But one of these was a man named Philemon, who happened to be a slave owner. But he was converted and worked closely with Paul, and they became close friends. And was very important, actually, to Paul. Now, there was also a slave named Ananias who belonged to Philemon. But Ananias escaped and went to Rome, hoping to kind of disappear into the crowds there. But he came into contact with Paul, and Paul converted him. And he became very important to Paul. Actually, he almost became like a son, and he was very useful to Paul there. But Paul, knowing that he actually was a slave and belonged to Philemon, his friend, he didn't want to turn him over to the authorities. So he decided to write this letter pleading with Philemon to forgive Ananias and to perhaps maybe let him come back to him and still be useful to him. So I kind of think, in a way, we think of this as how personal our relationships are and what they mean, and our personal relationship with God and how that affects what we do and the decisions we made, as the decision that Paul is giving Philemon to make. Salutation. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church and to the soldier, the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon's love and faith. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. Now, Paul's plea for Onesimus. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And now I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I'm appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Who in this church is free? Who in this church is free? Put your hands up. Are you free? Why are you free? You're free because Christ has set you free. And if Christ says you're free, then as the scriptures say, you are free indeed. Free from what? Free from fear. Free from death. The fear of death. Free from the wages of sin, which is death. Free from so many things that we would be absent were it not for Christ's sacrifice for you and for me. Now, what are we not free of? We know there are bad things that happen in the world today. We're not free from illness. We're not free from sickness. We're not free from pain. We're not free from death. We're free from the fear of death because we all know we're going to get there. It is only a matter of time. Well, as Paul was writing this very short letter to Philemon, and Philemon was in the city of Colossae, so he was sending his friend Trichus with a letter to the Colossians, which we have, the book of Colossians, the epistle to the Colossians, as well as this very short letter to Philemon, who's a brother in Christ to Paul. Some commentators say, actually, that Paul brought him to Christ, and that in one of the churches that he founded there in Colossae, that Philemon was converted to Christ, Christianity, by Paul, and therefore is a brother. And because Paul was the apostle that brought him to Christ, well then, Philemon owes him a debt of servitude. Just as Paul says he's a servant of Christ. Now, sometimes the word that's used in that is servant or slave. They're interchangeable. One of the things that occurred in that day and time, and it still occurs today, is that some people are held bound in slavery. We don't know what Onesimus did to Philemon, whether he stole something or somehow got crosswise of Philemon, the person who owned him. But Onesimus fled. And as a slave, you go and hide where there are tens of thousands of slaves. And he shows up in Rome and meets and is converted by Paul. Paul, being the Christian that he is and having that relationship with Philemon that he has, he cannot abide Onesimus serving him without bringing him into reconciliation with his master and owner, Philemon. So he moves to not take Onesimus to the authorities, who would punish him, maybe even kill him, but sends him along with the letters back to Philemon. The interesting thing is Paul has entered into a relationship with Onesimus that is so wonderful, much like a son. We read in the letters to Timothy how much he loves Timothy, while Onesimus is almost as dear to him as Timothy. Read what he says to Philemon. And he has mentioned all this, the first three verses, his introduction to the household of Philemon, etc. I'm going to start with verse 4. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. He is praising Philemon for what? His faith. Where's his faith? His faith is in Jesus Christ. His faith is in how he is dealing with other people. The other thing is how he's dealing with the other saints. See, Philemon, along with his son, Archippus, and the rest of his family, he has a church of Christians in his family. He's very benevolent. He's very fortunate in that regard. So he is someone who is held in good esteem in the location. Paul says, for this reason, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. How so? Yet I would appeal to you on this basis of love, and I, Paul, do this as an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ. I'm appealing to you for my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to both you and me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him so that I might be of service, that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment, but I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that you your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. First, Paul has encouraged Philemon for the good that he's already done, for the good that he's doing, for his faith and the way he's living out his faith with the other Christians. The second thing he does is he tells him how much he appreciates what Onesimus has done for him. Now, here's a trick. There's an interesting thing about Onesimus. The very word Onesimus, the name Onesimus, means profitable or prophet or useful. Interestingly, Paul says, formerly, in verse 11, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to both you and me. Onesimus, the very name, Paul wants him to be useful, not only to Onesimus, but also to Paul. And how's he going to do that? Well, we know, because we've said that Onesimus is a slave of Philemon. Philemon owns him. Paul brought Philemon to Christ. Paul says he is and belongs to Christ. Those that follow Christ belong to him. Philemon is under servanthood or servitude to Paul. He has the authority to command Philemon to release Onesimus to him. He could have, from Rome, written a letter. This letter could have just as easily said, Philemon, I have Onesimus, who is your slave, who fled from you, here with me. I pray you release him to me. And been done with it. But he doesn't want to do that. Because then Philemon would have been under an obligation. It wouldn't have been a free gift. See, there's one thing about what Jesus does. He commands us to do things. Love thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, thy body, and thy strength. Heart, mind, soul, strength. Four of them there. Heart, mind, soul, strength. Not so much the body. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thy neighbor as thyself. That's an obligation. That's a requirement. That's a commandment. But you know what? He doesn't stand over you and twist your arm. He doesn't stand over you and beat you with a stick. Even if you think that conscience that's hanging right there every time you know you're walking down a path you shouldn't walk. But it's free choice. Paul wants Philemon to release us, but he wants him to do it of his own volition. He doesn't want him to do it because Paul wants him to. You and I are free to choose to follow Christ. The thing about Christianity is not about slavery. Slavery is when someone else imposes restrictions on you and your life that you don't want. Freedom and Christianity and love and that freedom from the wages of sin that Christ Jesus brings to the forefront of our lives through the body given, the blood shed, which we're celebrating with communion, is the opportunity to choose wisely. To choose wisely, to choose of our own free will to do that which God has called us to do, to be free to love, to be free to give. When it comes to the food bank, when it comes to the mobile food pantry, when it comes to being obedient to our parents, we have the freedom and the latitude to do that. That's what Christ has done for us. So what Paul is telling Philemon to do, it's interesting how he does this in 14 and 15. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your good deed might be voluntary and something not forced. 16. He wants Philemon to send Onesimus back to him, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more so to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He wants Philemon to treat Onesimus just like a brother, not as a slave. He's calling his brother Philemon to a higher standard, to a higher level, to love, to treat this slave, Onesimus, with grace. How many of you are slaves to sin? How many of you are slaves to that fear of death? How many of you used to be that, but are no longer that because Christ Jesus, in your faith in Him, are now free? I'm free. Free indeed. Not because of anything that I did, but because of what Christ did. So who has set you free? It wasn't you who set you free. It was you who believed in faith in Christ Jesus and that He set you free. Christ says you're free. You are free indeed. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.